If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going into the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God.
What?
You can escape the heat too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse.
What?
Where I'm going. I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody. Tell them to grab their Bible. Hammer, deal it with it.
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Gay.
Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
No, that's it.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Two cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
Can Ronnie Millsap sing it or what? Misery loves company, and ain't that the truth?
And now,
my goodness, was that a mouthful?
Our feature presentation.
Never needed this song more than right now.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Roll another one.
The best tonic is chronic.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you have any marijuana? I meant to the fire.
And I need another hit.
Smoke weed. Smoke weed. Smoke weed.
Look at me with your bloodshot
just
eyes
like
and say that.
The other one. This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Clearly, he's high.
But the one guard that joined
is so high.
Let's pass it around.
Smoke weed every day.
You got any weed?
Timing.
Yeah, Beer Bug had no idea that we do that song on Fridays, so.
Well, at least I showed up.
Yeah.
He's here.
I don't know whether we're better or worse off, though.
That's here.
That's the only thing.
Well, that is a good question, and I'm going to say worse.
King of Mexico canceled on us today. He's not showing up.
He's
what?
Not here?
No, not coming in.
What happened this week?
Says he has the fear.
The fear.
Oh.
So we're down another man today.
All right, so Bean's on vacation.
Right.
Psycho Mike's on vacation.
Yes.
All right. And they'll all be back on Monday.
Right. Our producer Alex took the week off. She wasn't around this week.
She's back today, but she's trying to catch up on what happened.
Right.
And that's murky, so it's difficult to really catch her up with that.
Yeah. Mugger didn't show up yesterday.
Mugs did not
show up. Sleeping in a bush, didn't want to come by. King of Mexico
and today,
now is not
the
coming
king
by.
Is out.
And one of our other producers, Jose, on vacation.
Not
that's
around.
Right.
This is the week.
Yeah.
So did we miss something, Ralph? Yeah. We didn't get a memo?
It's F with Kevin, Ralph, and Lisa week, I guess.
I think it's Kevin. No one likes Kevin.
Could be.
Well, that's been a long time, though. People didn't stop coming to work just because they didn't like Kevin.
I don't know. Maybe it's hit a crescendo.
Maybe we should start with this, and then we'll take your phone calls.
Lift everyone's spirits.
All right, now I like you again.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number.
Taste of wing!
Wing and Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Right. I forgot it was the duet.
Best duet ever. High quality backing music.
Living easy, living free. Season ticket on the runway ride.
Asking nothing, leave me be.
Time.
stop it.
Who's playing the Sparklets bottle there?
Sparklets bottle?
Yeah. Sounds like someone's just pounding on one of those big Sparklets bottles you have at the true. Office when the water cooler.
That's those the percussion?
Empty Sparklets bottle. Toom, toom, toom.
All right, former producer Lightning put this together, and a stroke of genius, really. I
mean, it really
you take,
was.
You take those two singers, and you put them together, and
was
you have
his
your
best song. Work ever.
I think so.
We should have webcasted it. Why didn't we webcast it?
That's all Lightning wants to do is webcast everything.
Yeah, we got yelled at because we wouldn't let a webcast happen at St. Patrick's Day, we
In
said.
Retrospect, we made the right decision.
That was way the right decision.
Because there was fighting and vomiting and things going on. We probably wouldn't want to have...
Or not.
On the record.
Or if you didn't
just
hear
saying,
it.
When
or
the lawyers start calling.
Oh, okay. You're right. That's our story.
Good
right.
point.
Yeah. And we're sticking to it. All right. Your phone call is 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
And just for getting on the air today, you get a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Galaxy play the New England Revolution in their 2010 MLS home opener on Saturday, March 27th at Home Depot Center.
Go Galaxy!
Going there for my birthday. You want to come with me, Ralph?
Nope. Hope you catch a foul ball.
I'm sorry?
Did that even happen in
no.
soccer?
Oh, no, never mind. No foul ball. But they do kick it in the stands occasionally, but you got to throw it back.
You don't get to keep it?
No, I think it's a little too expensive.
Your sport blows.
All right, let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, what it do, Ralph? What it do, Kevin and Linda?
What it do, Ryan?
Nice. What's going on?
Hey, I think Miss Cleo's got a smoking voice, and I asked her if she would come on the air and fake an orgasm and put my to make my weekend.
Sorry, put your name in it?
Or a real orgasm, either one.
Oh, I don't know if she can have a real orgasm.
Well, a fake one.
So she knows what that is.
We
so you wanted
used to do
wait
that.
A minute. So you wanted to? Yeah, we can't do that anymore because of lawyers.
Yeah.
But what you wanted, if I could just clarify, is you wanted her to come into the studio and fake an orgasm, saying "Orion, Orion, Orion."
Yes.
Yes. I like that. I like that kind of specific request.
Mm-hmm.
We would do it for you, but we're not allowed to do anything overtly sexual on the air anymore.
No, we used to have moans of all sorts that we played.
Well, could Kevin take an orgasm with my name?
That really wouldn't be sexual.
No, it would not. It'd
That's
be repulsive,
funny.
Quite frankly.
But yes, it would.
How dare you? How dare you all?
Well, thank you, Ryan. You're a little twisted. I like that about you.
Twisted.
Yeah.
I was going to make a joke about Beer Mug doing it, and he went right for me, so to speak.
Maybe
right.
she can do it for him privately on the phone. Maybe we can make that happen.
Start a pay service where people pay her
sure.
$50.
Why not?
James, hi.
How's it going?
Good.
What it do, nephew?
Hi, James.
What it do? Kevin, Dean, Lisa May. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, while we're on the topic of Miss Cleo,
yes?
How big are her breasts?
Massive.
Giant.
Massive? Like, what are we talking about? 34B? I mean, C?
A B?
Oh, no.
F? She's like
what
a...
are you talking
she
about?
Busted out of the Ds, right?
She's easily a double D.
She's she might be an S. Does it go that low?
I don't know.
That high? That big?
Wow.
Which direction? Does it go that far in the alphabet?
I don't know, but I want that piece of tape. I know that much.
I'm just saying.
I don't think it goes to S, no, but she's got at least a hefty double D.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're really beautiful.
Does she have them coming out of with the tight bra coming out, popping out a little bit?
She wears size-appropriate bras.
She does. But really, no matter what she wears,
she
has cleavage.
At our last singles party, she had no bra on whatsoever.
That's
and just
true.
A dress with low-cut cleavage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was magical, and every guy in the room was transfixed by her lovely boobage.
Yeah, it
works. It works on her.
It works. And you say, does she show it off? She can't help, right?
No.
I mean, she could wear the... not the tightest, but like the loosest sweater, and she can put on like three of them.
Doesn't when she wears her burka to work, we still can see them.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Jamie, hi. Hello. Jamie.
Hey.
Jaime. Jamie.
It's Jaime.
Jaime.
What it do, nephew?
Jaime. What it do?
It's Jaime.
Hey, how you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing good, Jaime. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, man, what voices do you do for the Family Guy?
For the Family Guy, I do a lot of the smaller voices. I don't have any recurring characters, but I play a lot of the doctors and politicians and cops and that kind of stuff when they do those little flashback jokes.
All right.
I do have an episode coming up where I play Quagmire's sister's abusive boyfriend.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to recording that one. I just read the script for that one recently. That's going to be fun.
Giggity goo.
Exactly. Giggity giggity.
Yeah, are you drunk?
Oh, no, man. I smoked a big fat one when you guys were playing your song.
All right. Okay,
so
you're high.
Different kind of.
You're high. Good.
It's some of that Afghani kush.
All right, good.
Bomb diggity.
All right. It's the bomb diggity.
Oh, yeah.
Give the other air traffic controllers our best when you get to work.
Thank you for the call. We have...
That's my biggest fear is... air traffic controllers are high. Yeah, that's
probably not good. That's how we have determined that this show is good, by the way, though. If you're high or you're drunk, usually you'll find our jokes a little funnier.
Sure. We recommend it.
It helps.
Help with that.
Helps us get through it, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. That means we have the Movie Beat with Ralph. We have Adam Carolla. This Week in Rage. We have Kat Corbett is a DJ here. She's at South by Southwest, which is in...
pretending that she's going to answer the phone when we call.
Which is in Austin, Texas. For those of you that haven't heard, it's a huge music festival.
Yeah, I'm down here this weekend. It's really amazing.
Kat is not known for her discipline when she's in a situation like that.
No.
She doesn't exactly go, I need to get some rest tonight. So she stays out and drinks and smokes, and she doesn't smoke. And,
and her voice heads up sounded like this.
Destroys herself. We found a woman whose goal is to be the fattest woman in the world. That's her goal.
Oh, my God.
So she's 600.
Sexy.
She's 600 pounds right now.
Uh-huh.
And,
Not enough.
You can sponsor her. You can pay for food and then watch her eat it. So because she wants to make 1,000. That's her goal.
Can she even walk now?
I don't think so.
She needs people to sponsor because how else is she going to get any money?
That's true.
She can't. She's immobile.
But it's good to see people have goals. That's important.
She wants to be the fattest woman in the world.
You need to have goals. That's what if you take one thing away from today's show. Bryan Cranston will be on the program today talking about Breaking Bad, which is great.
What a career the guy's had from Malcolm in the Middle, which was just goofy, funny sitcom. Fun.
Yeah, you really didn't get a sense of what he could do with that show.
Breaking Bad, which is just such an intense, funny / dramatic show. He's brilliant on it.
Yeah, he's great. Forrest Whitaker on the program today.
He's another great actor.
How about this? Yeah. Repo Man, have you seen the commercials for that?
I can't wait for that.
That just looks crazy.
I will forgive him that BS wedding movie he did with Carlos Mencia because of this one.
That's nice of you.
Thank you.
That's nice. And Ralph hates 2.5 Men.
Oh, does it blow?
With a passion. He can't stand it. Did you line up your
We're still working on it.
Your horse?
We're still working on my horse trainer. So we can talk about my horse that somehow I became part owner of while I was drunk on St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, Ralph bought a part of a horse.
I still don't know quite what the story is. I have not spoken with him yet. That's why I would like to get him on the phone to find out exactly what I'm in for here.
How much you spent?
Yeah. What part is mine? Do I get the tail? Do I get a hoof? Do I get
I don't think they're going to part it out like a car.
Like a buttock? what's my part of the horse?
Buttock.
What's my part of the horse?
That'd be cool.
Do I get the teats? Do I get milk?
Oh.
You know, what do I get?
It's a good question.
I don't know much about the horses.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's not evident. All right, listen. We'll take a quick break and we will come back. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next.
Yeah, man, with the ganja man. Yeah.
Yeah. The Dirty Heads featuring Rome. It is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:53. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Does the name Fess Parker mean anything to you?
No.
It does. Fess Parker? Yeah.
Yeah. He was a big-time TV star back in the 50s and 60s, and he was sort of the first guy who was smart enough to take his TV money, get the hell out of the business, and buy real estate and become a mogul.
Huh.
He owned the better part of all of Santa Barbara by the time he was done.
He did?
Wow. Yeah.
That's impressive.
He had a big winery up there, had a big hotel resort called Fess Parker's Wine Country Inn and Spa. It was sort of a legendary location up there in Central California. And he passed away. Passed away yesterday. So just bringing that up because he was one of those guys where you hear about actors who have successful TV series and then disappear and you wonder whatever happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who did it right. He's sort of the template for everybody who followed. He was Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone, if you remember those shows.
Wow.
So he liked to wear a coonskin cap a lot. That's what he specialized in.
Those are fun.
They sure are. Jesse James addressed the rumors yesterday that he had cheated on his wife, Sandra Bullock. He issued an apology yesterday, accepting full responsibility for the situation. Wait a minute, the situation?
Oh, man, really? So she was cheating too?
No. But said that a lot of the stories are untrue and unfounded. The vast majority of the allegations, he said, are untrue and unfounded.
So they only did it once.
I don't know.
So a tiny percentage of it is true and most of it's not true.
Apparently.
That's what he said.
Although we don't know which part or why.
but they're not together.
They are not. He said it caused his wife and kids pain and embarrassment beyond comprehension. He says he's truly sorry and hopes they can find it in their hearts to forgive him.
Hmm.
So we're not really sure exactly.
Maybe it wasn't with her. Maybe with someone else.
Yeah.
Well, we know now
wrong
that...
Wrong girl. You pointed the wrong girl.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bombshell McGee...
Yeah.
She was reportedly paid $30,000 for her story with In Touch Weekly magazine. So now we know why she was talking about it. But, yeah, hopefully Sandra and Jesse can work it out. But we don't know what he did that he's apologizing for if everything was untrue and unfounded. So we got to wait and see. Tiger Woods may not have just one problem.
Uh-oh.
Of course, we all know about his legendary libido, but now the New York Post is reporting that reports are circulating that he has a hardcore gambling problem. So reports of that behavior may start to surface as he gets closer to returning to the game with the Masters.
Wow. By the way, he's got it all going on.
That's not unique, I don't think, among athletes.
No.
I mean, yeah, there are a lot of athletes that gamble a lot.
And this guy obviously likes the rush.
Yeah.
Right. You don't get it from
in
golf.
General.
Right.
So if he's getting it from cheating, you know, it's not surprising he might get it from gambling as well.
He needs to change sports so he can get some kind of high from the actual sport.
Yeah, exactly. Break a sweat once in a while. Hugh Grant is one of my favorite actors. I like him a lot in his movies, but he seems like a bit of a dick.
Does he?
In real life. Well, the more I hear stories about him, the more it turns out. I don't know if you remembered recently or not, he threw a container of baked beans at a photographer who was trying to take pictures of him.
Oh, yeah,
that?
I do remember that.
He pelted the guy with beans. Well, apparently he had a fight the other night with his former PR guy, Matthew Freud. They were talking in a restaurant loudly back and forth, and Hugh made a rude comment about him and threw a slice of chocolate cake across the room at him.
Man, that'll take a guy down.
Yeah.
Chocolate cake.
Apparently... I'm sorry, no, he threw the chocolate cake. You threw a cocktail back at him.
That's just
so they had a bit of a food fight in a restaurant.
What a wussy food fight.
So. Kesha's in the news, Kevin. Your favorite Kesha?
Oh, dear God.
She says she puts her fans first.
Sure.
She says although it's hard for her to sing and dance at the same time, she would rather mess up than ever lip sync because she is a real artist.
Well, I think we all know that.
Well, she's got the gift.
I mean, when she sings...
How can that blah, blah, blah.
You can't fake that. You can't lip you can't lip sync that. Ugh.
You missed her on the results show of American Idol this week.
Oh, I'm so glad.
On stage, dancing with a bunch of TV
Wait,
sets.
Wait, you watched that?
No, I saw the clip of her singing and dancing.
All right.
Did she sing?
That's how can that blah, blah, blah.
That's what she did. And you think she's bad recorded.
Yeah.
You should see her live.
I've seen video of her live, and she is terrible, right?
Yeah, she is.
That's for her fans, Kevin.
She should lip sync.
She's terrible.
She should think about lip syncing and not dance. And speaking about American Idol, if you were watching the Elimination Show on Wednesday night, you found out who was booted off the show about 17 minutes before they announced it, if you follow Ryan Seacrest on Twitter. Apparently, Ryan released who was being booted off the show on his Twitter account to his Twitter followers 17 minutes before Fox aired it.
Bet they love that.
Oh, they were thrilled. Apparently, Ryan sent out a message to his followers that Lacey Brown was eliminated, and they should tune into his syndicated radio program next morning for more. Apparently, it was a preset release announcement he was going to release that he would get everybody to tune in, but for some reason went out about 17 minutes before it actually happened on the air.
If you're going to do that, wouldn't you cut it closer? Maybe a minute or two early, so you're still doing it early, but you could say, oh, I thought, I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
17
reportedly,
minutes.
Fox execs were not pleased.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, death penalty, I think, is the only possible option for Fox.
I agree.
They can do that, right?
What other choice do they have?
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Glenn Close is 63 years old today. Actor Bruce Willis celebrates his 55th birthday. Drummer Zach Lynn of Jimmy Eat World is 34. And actor Craig Lamar Traylor from Malcolm in the Middle is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph is here to take a look at a TV show that seems to really bug him.
Well, just because it's been in the news so much lately, and I wanted to address it because I feel like I've got the defense for Charlie Sheen when he goes into court.
Okay.
For assaulting his wife and for his drug and alcohol abuse. I think I know the reason behind why it all happens.
Oh.
Because he realizes in his heart of hearts that he is perpetuating the biggest fraud on television by calling Two and a Half Men a comedy. He realizes he is lying to America on a weekly basis, and it's eating away at his soul.
This is funny because we all have things that drive us so crazy that we can't see straight. And,
yep.
And a lot of times, not everyone shares your view of that. Like, I think that show's decently funny on a kind of a lowest...
Which baffles me.
You've been hoodwinked.
On a lowest common denominator level, but I don't hate it like Ralph.
Yeah,
no one hates it like Ralph.
Everyone should. The problem is that you're being hoodwinked. You're being fooled into thinking that it's a comedy, and CBS is sliding it past you.
Right.
And you've never really taken a critical look at it to realize that it's a lie. It's the biggest lie on television. The fact that this has been a highly rated sitcom for years is the biggest lie perpetuated on the American public since Watergate.
It's won Emmys.
It blows. It is anti-funny. The world gets less funny every time an episode of this airs.
I chuckle.
It sucks a little funny out of the room.
I chuckle a bit.
It's horrible. Right. Charlie Sheen is awful on it. It's poorly written, and it sucks.
Makes me laugh.
No, it doesn't.
Not a lot.
No, it doesn't. You think it makes you laugh, because here's the thing.
I'm not
and here's why it's
laughing.
A lie on television. Right. It's the biggest lie on television, because it's... The rhythms of what passes for jokes on the show, it's written like a sitcom. Some guy says, oh, really? Why is that? Because this happened. And it sounds like, oh, well, that's the rhythm of a joke. It sounds like that should be a joke.
So it's in the right format for you to think
that
it's...
people in front of cameras moving around and talking as if they're acting.
Right.
So it looks sort of like a comedy. And then they've got that god-awful laugh track just turned up to 11.
Every time
someone says anything remotely funny, it's... Everybody in the room laughs.
They do turn that up a lot.
Lies. All lies.
Wow.
Here is a clip of Two and a Half Men. This is lifted from the show with the laugh track as it airs. And listen to the jokes.
All right.
Listen to the actual writing. Don't listen to the rhythm of the dialogue. Don't listen to the laugh track, people reacting. Listen to the actual what passes for jokes here. Now I'm going to set this up. Right. Charlie Sheen, who, by the way, is a carefree bachelor, who's got a brother who's really uptight.
Yes,
and buttoned down. They are opposite as opposite can be. But they have to live together.
Right.
That's craziness.
Where's the kid come in?
Well, the kid is John Cryer's kid.
The buttoned-up one.
The buttoned-up one. But then they both love the kid, and that's the one thing they have in common, and that's why they put up with this crazy odd couple situation. BS already.
Okay.
So Charlie Sheen, he's got a way with the ladies. He sure does like being a bachelor with all the ladies
he's
that he
player.
Has sex with. So in this scene, he's trying to have sex with this woman who's got a small child. And the kid won't eat, so she can't put the kid to bed. So Charlie can't have his sexy time with the MILF, with the hot mom. See? And so Charlie's trying to come up with ideas of how to get the kid to eat and go to bed. And listen to what passes for jokes on this show.
He's usually not this cranky.
You try a little whiskey in his sippy cup?
Charlie.
I'm just saying, it worked for my brother.
You really did that.
Still do it.
Still do it!
You know what? I'm just going to make him a hot dog. You want a hot dog?
Sure.
I was talking to my son.
What, you just got the one?
I'll be right back.
Come on, kid. Just have a little corn. And then bedtime for both of us.
Yeah.
Oh, love of God. I don't come to Gymboree and knock the blocks out of your hand. Come on. It's corn-tastic.
It's corn-tastic. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? He's talking to a little kid. He says it's corn-tastic.
That clip wasn't as funny.
He's just one one-liner after another.
I still put whiskey in my brother's sippy cup because his brother's an adult now who wouldn't be using a sippy cup ordinarily. But he still does it. That's hilarious comedy. F this show.
I will tell you that the fake audience laughter is... ridiculous over laughter. That's
Charlie Sheen's wife should have taken a knife to him on Christmas. That's what I'm saying. If she had any compassion for us, the audience at all, she would have done it. It would have been the other way around.
Yeah.
So the comedy site, collegehumor.com.
Love it.
Very funny site. Has taken a Two and a Half Men clip and put what they call a realistic laugh track to it. This is what it actually sounds like while they're recording the show in the studio audience before they sweeten it with the fake laugh track. So here's a scene from Two and a Half Men, the way an audience would actually really react.
I have a question.
Yeah?
How smart do you have to be to have sex?
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Well, actually...
Terrible.
Can I...
Not funny the first time.
But I was...
Not funny the second time.
Oh, come on!
Four times, really. Four times.
Why do you ask?
Mom's boyfriend's a doctor.
Yeah.
And doctors are supposed to be smart, right?
Not as smart as they think they are. But go ahead.
Well, when I'm in bed, I can hear them in bed.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goody.
Ugh, shut up.
And Mom's always telling him that he doesn't know what he's doing.
Kid is so stupid.
Go on, sweetheart.
So I'm thinking sex must be a lot harder than I figured. I mean, she has to tell him the same thing every night.
So dumb.
Every night, you say?
You had a semi-annual subscription, didn't you?
Sex is like a magazine.
Come on, you guys, please.
Can't help you.
Oh, my God.
Jake, it's not that you have to be particularly smart to have sex.
Yeah, look at your dad.
That doesn't make sense.
Jake, show me a Coke.
Oh, unbearable.
Think of it this way. Suppose you like banana cream pie.
I do like banana cream pie.
Worst kid ever.
Do we have any?
Oh, my God.
No.
Well, then why'd you bring it up?
I'll tell you an analogy.
I was trying to tell you something about sex.
What does pie have to do with sex?
So stupid.
If you don't tell me you like banana cream pie and I keep bringing home something
but
else...
I just told you I like it.
Analogy.
Yeah, that's how people are really reacting as they watch that horrible show. So god awful writing, the world's dumbest kid.
So they do have to edit that out and add the fake
exactly.
audience.
Then they just bring in the fake laughs and they add it in where the actual people in the audience are screaming out loud at the actors, begging them to stop with their unfunny comedy.
Good times.
F 2.5 men.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking yesterday about St. Patrick's Day, and
yes.
It went well for some people. Didn't go as well for others. A few people are in trouble. Okay, that happens.
Sure.
St. Patrick's Day. If people aren't in trouble on St. Patrick's Day, you're not doing it right.
What are the expectations?
That's my point.
The day dedicated to people getting stinky drunk. Oh, I'm sure everything will be fine and no one will get into any trouble. What? Asses.
Right, and the people that are getting us in trouble know us. And
right.
We've done this 20 times before. What is it that they want?
The definition of insanity is to repeat the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to happen the same next year as well.
Exactly.
That's just expect it. But we did, we had Beer Mug, who was supposed to be working here yesterday.
Well, that's the one thing. Most of us were able to show up to work the day after the St. Patrick's Day party. Most of us.
I think everyone did that wasn't, I mean, Alex didn't, but she was sick. It wasn't
right.
because of St. Patrick's Day, but
right.
everybody except for Beer Mug.
Yes.
Who we found out woke up in a bush.
Was sleeping in the bushes.
So, and he didn't know where exactly. So we're going to take your calls. You woke up somewhere after blacking out.
We want your blackout adventures. You were drinking, you blacked out. When you came to, hilarity ensued.
Yeah, I've done this before, and people are waking up in other people's homes that they have no idea who it is because they thought it was their house.
Yes.
They just
yes.
go in and get on the couch, and they get woken up by whoever is screaming, get out of my house!
Can you imagine?
Right. And then remember the one guy that called, and he started yelling at her, this is my house! It wasn't?
No.
But he was yelling at her? Awesome.
When I was in college, I was a drummer in a band that we had in college, and we would play the occasional party in the housing off campus. There were a lot of people who rented houses around the campus, and they would throw parties because they had their own homes there. So we were in the backyard playing a party at one of these houses, and I was behind the drum kit. And next to the kit, I had a bottle of mezcal, which is, you know, like tequila, only on steroids.
Okay.
It's got the worm in the bottle,
yes.
yeah, at the bottom, you know?
So tequila's not strong enough?
My goal was, while I was playing, was to play the whole set and take just pulls off this bottle of mezcal and to eat the worm at the end of it. That was my goal.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because supposedly if you ate the worm, you saw visions.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I saw visions or not, but I woke up the next morning. The last half of us playing, by the way.
Sure, gone.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure I was really on beat.
You were a good drummer that night, I'm sure.
I woke up the next morning at that house where we were playing. I had never left, apparently. On the roof of the house.
You woke up on the roof.
Yes. Nude. Wrapped in just a bed sheet, clutching my drumsticks to my chest. I still had my drumsticks with me. I was totally naked, and I woke up outside a window, a second floor window, on the roof of the building, naked, wrapped in a sheet. That's how I recovered from my blackout. I have no idea how I got there. I have no idea why I was naked, what happened between midway through the set that we were playing in that backyard to when I woke up that morning.
Could have rolled right off
yeah.
that
easily.
Roof.
Easily. Could have just plummeted to my death off the roof.
You know what he wouldn't have done? Let go of the drumsticks?
Yeah, that's
would have held
true.
On to him.
Nothing, no clothes on whatsoever except I had my drumsticks in my hand and I was wrapped by a sheet. And no one really can fill in the blanks for me to this day. I've had with friends. Like, what happened? Did you see me at any point? No, we lost track of you somewhere in the course of the evening and didn't see you till the next day.
I went to Las Vegas.
I think
for
I was
a
abducted
party.
By UFO. That's you what happened. So? That's what I think was happening.
Yeah. I went to Las Vegas for a bachelor party, and we lost the bachelor. And then we woke up, and we were in some kind of a suite, and there was a tiger in there. And then for some reason, Mike Tyson came in.
Kevin, that was
I don't remember. Then there was a baby.
That was the movie The Hangover.
We found a baby in the closet.
That was the movie The Hangover that you saw and probably thought it was your life because
that could
be the way your brain works.
Yeah. And here's Beer Mug from yesterday. And then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
The part that all of a sudden snuck up on me was it's 7:20 and
last night or this morning?
This morning.
Okay. The AM.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I'm laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth.
No!
So that happens. That's my man, Beer Mug.
You don't wake up in Chatsworth, period, let alone in a bush in Chatsworth.
In a bush, woken up by the sun. That's rough.
Oh, that's horrible.
By the way, Bush and Chatsworth, I think I rented that at one point.
1-800-520-1067 is the number you call. We'll put you on the air next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about you blacked out and you woke up someplace. And it was a surprise to you.
That's a bad surprise.
Yeah, I don't remember showing up here. How did I wake up here?
It's like a mystery. It's great. It's like a mystery novel. You don't know how to solve the clues.
Oh, this is great. It's like Two and a Half Men. Like Two and a Half Men.
Oh, that rocks.
I figure if we get our own laugh track, then
we'll sound a lot funnier.
Anything we say, people will go, oh, that's funny. That guy liked it.
That guy, man.
We'll be wildly popular. And they'll have us on for 10, 12 seasons.
All right, let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi there.
You woke up where?
In a shopping cart in front of my dorm.
Oh, Cindy.
In a shopping cart.
Yeah.
It's very Animal House.
I have trouble sleeping anyway. How do you sleep? You pass out, I guess. But in a shopping cart, that's not comfortable.
Well, I was a theater major, and where I went to college, you had to audition at the end of the year to be able to stay in the program.
Right.
You didn't pass the audition, they kicked you out of school.
Wow.
So at that huge audition, we started drinking right after everybody was done. And all I remember is I started drinking on Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning, I woke up in a shopping cart.
All right. Do you know who pushed you home?
No clue. No,
you
had arrived there.
But it sounds like you had 2 days that you don't remember.
Yep, that's right. About a day and a half,
My God.
Did I pass the audition?
Yeah, actually I did. I was one of, there were 40 people in the class. I was one of 20 who made it in.
Nice.
Well,
and then I promptly quit the profession.
I was going to say, how's that going?
Yeah, not so much.
Now she's a full-time shopping bag lady. She lives on the street in another shopping cart. Thank you so much.
They like that one.
Awesome.
All right, let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Chris, you blacked out, and when you awoke, you were...
On a roof.
Oh,
you're a man after my own heart.
Right? Ralph.
Just like Ralph, okay.
Yeah. Roof of where?
Yeah, the roof of what?
A Maytag appliance building in Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu?
You must get that a lot there.
Do you work there?
No. I was out there for Memorial Day weekend.
It's partying.
Got
and,
it.
You know, just a long day of drinking, and for some reason I decided to sleep on a roof.
All right.
Were you shopping for a washer or dryer?
They really like that one.
The audience loves me.
Oh, that was good.
I'm the Charlie Sheen of radio.
Thank you, Chris. Sadly, we knew we'd get plenty of calls on this topic. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's going on?
You woke up after blacking out where?
Getting kicked off a train in Japan.
Had you started drinking in America?
In the United States? Or?
No.
Wow.
We were in southern Japan. We just pulled in. I was on an aircraft carrier, and we came back from Iraq, and we started drinking, and we thought it would be cool to go to another club in a different city, and we ended up not making it because we blacked out on the train, and we just went across the country instead.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
How far away were you? How far away were you when you woke up?
It was about 5.5 hours on a train.
Wow.
So the trains were closed when we got off of it. And luckily, they're really nice. They don't speak crap of English, but they helped us find a taxi cab, and we paid, about $500 to get back.
He sounds angry that they don't speak English in Japan.
Yeah.
They don't even speak English.
They should speak English everywhere, really.
Yeah. Everybody should.
That's right.
All right, okay. But Justin, really, you're on a train for 5 hours. You get what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there was four of us, so, I'd expect somebody else to wake up and take care of me, but I guess that didn't happen.
Yeah. Did you get back in time, or were you AWOL?
No, we didn't get back in time, but it was, you know, we were pretty lucky that we weren't leaving anywhere, so it was all right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
You woke up someplace?
For some reason, this is funnier when girls do it for some reason to me.
Because it's rare.
Me too.
For when, yeah.
So, Jessica, when you blacked out, where would you wake up?
On my dog's bed in my front porch.
On your dog's bed.
On your dog's bed.
Yeah, I have a chihuahua.
You were on the dog,
that is
were you?
A tiny little bed.
Yeah, it was a really small bed, and apparently all the contents of my purse were left on my front porch, because apparently I was looking for my keys, and I couldn't find them.
Right.
So you just lay down.
So you said, hey, that's the world's smallest bed. I could probably sleep there.
Yeah.
The dog seems to like it.
It was enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Times.
You're pretty.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. That's nice. She's a lovely flower. Let's go to Rich. You don't want your parents involved. I know that.
No.
I used to sleep on the side of my house so I wouldn't go into my house drunk when I came home.
So you'd sleep it off so your parents wouldn't be able to smell it on your breath or whatever.
If I got home a decent hour, I'd go by the side of the house, usually vomit, then just curl up in the side of the house near the bushes and just take a nap. So when I woke up, I was somewhat reasonable before I went in because I was always petrified my parents would find out.
I like it. Yeah. Rich, hi.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are your parents involved with this story?
Well, I woke up one morning and we had this huge ivy hill in front of my house.
Oh, that sounds comfy.
For some reason, instead of just walking up the driveway and walking into the door, I decided to crawl up the ivy hill and made it about halfway up and fell asleep.
Okay, good.
And the next morning, I woke up to a garden hose and water raining down on me with my mom screaming at me.
I like it.
Mom sprayed you?
Yeah, my mom, instead of coming just down to wake me up, she just took the hose to me.
Nice.
Woke me up out of a perfectly found, fine sleep.
Sure, you're having a nice, restful night.
Yeah, I was resting up just fine. And the downside was our house is at the top of a hill. The neighborhood kind of emptied out, so everybody saw me sleeping on the side of this hill.
That's great.
Your mom taught you an important lesson.
That's great, with the hose. I like that. All right, one more. Let's go to Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. You woke up after blacking out where?
I woke up on a random house on the patio in a harbor in the hot tub.
In a hot tub? In a hot tub.
Yeah, I woke up because my head fell into the water, and I breathed in and got a mouthful of water.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, my God.
How long had you been in the hot tub? Because you can't get out looking like a raisin.
I was nice and pruned up like a raisin.
Yeah.
My hands were just white, and they hurt. I mean, it was long enough that my hands were hurting.
Oh, my gosh.
When you woke up, was it 1983, and was it the hot tub time machine? Best case scenario.
Seriously?
Best case scenario.
Really?
It's a new movie that's coming out, Ralph.
Can we
put that in the file, please?
Can we, hold on. Let me tell it again.
We're going to take that
back.
Did
you wake up in 1983 in the hot tub time machine?
They like it.
They like it.
What are you going to do?
That's the magic of the laugh track right there.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be funny.
So safe to you.
Oh, stop it, people. Seriously, stop. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Heidi Montag's got a new manager. I told you last week that she fired her husband, Spencer Pratt, as her business manager and hired Malibu psychic Aiden Chase. Because, you know, with a psychic as your manager, you have a leg up on the competition. You've got an advantage that no one else has.
If you truly believe in psychics, I would think everyone would do that.
Well, she has fired her psychic manager.
Already?
Yeah. 7 days later. I have decided to part ways with Mr. Chase, both as a manager and as a psychic.
But are they going to remain the best of friends?
She doesn't say that.
Wow.
And will scrutinize my business decisions more carefully in the future.
Really?
I will now be managing my own career.
Worst choice even.
That is not an improvement.
As a strong and independent woman, she's going to be her own manager. Listen, the best, smartest people in all of show business don't manage their own careers.
Yeah.
I think the only guy who does it and does it well is Bill Murray. He has no agent, no manager. He just,
really?
He just makes his own decisions when it comes to his career.
Right, but he's at that point where he's done so many movies. He got such a track record. He can do that.
Sure, he's a good lawyer.
Yeah.
Will no one manage her?
I'm she sure will.
I'm sure
would
someone would.
I'm sure, Lisa, but she doesn't want that. She wants to manage her own career as a strong and independent woman.
Okay.
Aiden Chase had been her intuitive healer for a month that she brought him in after her 10 plastic surgeries. And so he helped her psychically heal.
Okay.
She said, unfortunately, recent behavior by Mr. Chase on the set of both Just Go With It, starring Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, Nicole Kidman, which I guess she has a role in as well, and On the Hills, have made me question my decision.
How bad do you have to be to, for 7 days? You can't behave.
How much could you screw up?
You can't behave for a couple of weeks?
He thinks maybe it's because he spoke with Audrina Patridge briefly when he was on the set with The Hills.
Oh.
Oh, no, he didn't.
And maybe Heidi thought he was trying to poach another client or something. Yeah. So
he's out.
She's out.
All right.
Spencer's out. He's out. Heidi's on her own now.
Well, that way she doesn't have to give up 10% of
all that lucrative cash
rolling in
income
from the CD.
From her wildly popular CD. I wonder if he'll take me on as a client. A.B. Chase.
It's available.
I got no manager. I could use somebody. He's psychic.
Then he should hear you in his head and
That's
call
That's right.
You.
That's true.
Call
he should know.
Me Aiden Chase. You must know the number. I'm putting it out there in my brain. Pick it up, psychic Aiden Chase. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're the
disco queen of the world. You can get the band back together. No, this is Ralph singing. I'm saying you can get
From
the band.
30 minutes ago, we talked about this.
I know, but you're talking about a new manager.
I'm your manager.
I don't mean my music career. My wildly popular sculpting career. Working in bronze now. Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
Wants to be James Bond.
No.
Yeah. Star of the Twilight movies. Talked to a journalist recently and said that he would like to play famous 007 character.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Me too, by the way, while we're getting a list of names. Although he says he has to admit he's not a great runner, and the role would probably require lots of running.
You can't run enough to be in a movie?
Wow. You are no James Bond, sir. Daniel Craig, nothing to worry about. And Jack White says Meg White is a great drummer and haters should just shut up.
Yeah.
He told the New York Post that Meg's minimal style behind the drum kit makes metalheads and hipsters unhappy. But she can do stuff people who are well-trained can't, said Jack.
On the drums?
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
That would seem counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
He says that Meg should be praised for inspiring people just to get some pots and pans to bang on if they can't afford a drum kit or drum lessons.
Because that's what it sounds like when she drums?
Because I guess she's a primal minimalist who never really took any serious training, so that should inspire other people just to pick up sticks and play the drums.
Hmm.
Yeah. Or you could train and be good.
Either way. Either way is fine.
And Casey James from American Idol is apparently trying to get his life together. I'm not familiar which one Casey is on the show.
Me either.
I'm not really watching anymore, but he's one of the finalists. Star Magazine says he had 3 DUI arrests.
Ouch.
But he's straightened his life out, and now he's competing in the top 12, and he's happy that his life's back on track. So good for you, Casey James. I'm sure he or she will do very well in the competition. Today's celebrity birthday is Glenn Close is 63 years old today. Actor Bruce Willis celebrates his 55th birthday. Zach Lynn of Jimmy Eat World is 34. And, that's it.
Okay.
I got to take a closer look at this list. In the
maybe ahead of time.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Bryan Cranston in just a minute from Breaking Bad. Very excited about that show.
Yep.
It's on AMC. It's had 2 seasons. It's coming back for its 3rd season, and it is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
It really is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Go to that file, would you? Bryan Cranston. Breaking Bad, you may not have seen it. If you haven't, it's worth catching up on the first 2 seasons.
Yeah, they're on DVD now.
Yes, so you can get those and check it out. His name is Brian. There you go. Thank you. And here's a little bit of audio for
you. Want to cook crystal meth?
You know the business, and I know the chemistry.
What you two need is an honest-to-God businessman, right? Somebody who treats your product like the simple, high-margin commodity that it is.
You know someone like that?
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
$602,000 each.
All that he wants is what's coming to him.
I earned that money. Me.
We agreed. 50-50 partners.
Partners in what? From what I can tell, you are just a pathetic junkie.
I have more money than I know how to spend. What I don't have is my family.
Breaking Bad. Sunday nights at 10, 9 central. The new season premieres March 21st. Only on AMC.
Hey, that's Sunday.
Yeah.
They're exciting. Hey, Brian.
Premieres on Sunday on AMC.
Premieres Sunday.
I love how they get these guys, you know, those are Breaking Bad.
I know.
It makes you feel like if you don't watch, they're going to come break your bones or something.
Well, that's how you should feel with this show.
It does.
I don't like those announcers, though, because they point out that I'm a little girl.
Yeah.
With my voice. So that's at least you can fake it. At least you can try to do it.
Come on. You can do your Breaking Bad. World.
Well, sure.
Remember that guy?
Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Totally. But
I can't do it as well as you. Brian, you're the best.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Breaking Bad.
It took me to go to New York City to talk to you in Los Angeles where I live.
Oh, is that right? You're in New York today. Good. Excellent.
Yep.
All right.
You're happy when I'm out of the state, are you?
No, but sometime when you're in town, we would like to have you in.
Because yeah, that's
great.
This is one of those shows that we have talked about since season one. It is unbelievable. A high school chemistry teacher gets cancer.
Yeah.
And then you make the only rational decision, which is...
What else would you do? I'd use my chemistry background to cook crystal meth.
That's right.
Make as much money as I can, give it to my family before I die. Who wouldn't do that?
You're a good guy all around.
He's a giver.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the guy that plays Jesse, Aaron Paul, is great on that show as well.
Yeah.
Isn't he? He's good.
I got to tell you, this is, I watched the first episode. They sent over a screener, tonight's episode.
Oh, you lucky dog.
And I watched all of the first season, and I did miss a couple of episodes in the second season, but... There were people crawling in through the desert.
Yeah, that was an interesting, that's a real life thing.
Let me ask you a question. Is that something I missed? Like, am I supposed to know what that was about, or you're going to answer that later?
No, it's just a part of the belief system in the devotees of the Santa Muerte.
Ah, yes,
which is the. It's a non-judgmental deity that you can pray to have someone's health get better, or you can pray that someone dies. You know, so it's like there's no judgment here,
and
it was an offshoot of Catholicism, and it's mostly in Latin America and Mexico.
What do you mean there's no judgment though? It looks like they would be judged if they didn't crawl on their bellies.
Well, you know, they're just paying. It's really a weird thing because if you Google it, Santa Muerte, you find people who will pay homage to the deity, the skeletal girl with a wedding dress. It's really kind of freaky.
Yeah.
And they will light a joint and inhale and then blow the exhale into the deity's face. It's the weirdest thing, how they pay homage to this.
She likes to be high as much as anyone.
Yeah, who wouldn't? You know?
So in this scene, these guys are crawling, it looks like all the way across Mexico, and then somebody pulls up in a like a Mercedes Benz, and two guys have suits on, and then they get down in the dirt and start crawling.
Okay.
It's a freaky thing.
And I was like, all right, now I'm going to have to smoke out so that I understand the show Breaking Bad.
Yeah, actually, if you want to get caught up, there's a marathon going on today.
Oh, that's great news.
On AMC. You can catch up on the most critical episodes from the first two seasons, and then we premiere Sunday night.
Now, you've been nominated for Emmys and how many times? Four, five, six?
I've been nominated five times and won twice.
And Malcolm in the Middle, of course, is what people knew you from originally. But
right.
You've been working on this now for 3 years. What drew you to this particular project?
Well, I was looking for something after 7 years of doing the comedy that would break the image of what my character on that show, Hal, had done. And so...
Accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. This guy was... And how it came about was really interesting because the writer-creator of Breaking Bad was a writer-producer of X-Files. And 10 years ago, I did an episode of X-Files, and he remembered me from that. And it was from that brief meeting, really, we were together 8 days, that he wrote this with me in mind. And Vince Gilligan is his name, and I owe him everything because he became my champion to get this role.
That's got to be weird to have somebody writing a role for you. Because, like, then what if you don't like it? What do you do?
Yeah,
you go,
exactly.
Hey, I appreciate that you wrote it for me and all, but I got other stuff.
Yeah, is this the way you see me?
Other things to do.
Terrible. No, but it's an incredibly well-written show, as was Malcolm in the Middle. And
I agree.
So I'm just very, very blessed.
Is it difficult to get people to go to AMC for original programming? I mean, I did discover this show. My wife actually discovered this show, and she told me about it. And once I set my TiVo for it, you know, now I get it. But, you know, I don't go there looking for new programming usually.
No, not usually. Well, now you will, because before Breaking Bad was in production, Mad Men still had not aired yet.
And right, right.
So the guys at AMC sent me the pilot episode of Mad Men, and that was the thing that really solidified my interest in doing Breaking Bad. And so now we have on AMC is Mad Men and Breaking Bad, and coming up this fall is a show called Rubicon, which is terrific. And so it's going to be a destination. It's becoming known for that. And so it's a good place, and they're really supportive.
Now, before tonight's episode, where people are crawling through the desert inexplicably, where were we? Where did we leave off last season? Because everyone was dead at your house and Jesse's house. That was pretty much the deal, right?
No, not everyone.
Okay, not everyone.
No. There was a mid-air collision over my character's house, and Walt just thought it was a tragic accident, but he had no idea that he was tied to that. He was somewhat culpable in that tragedy. And his wife also just left him. So bad news. Bad for Walt. And
it's been bad news from the beginning.
I know. Well, I mean, in the first couple of seasons, it was really about the decision that he made to do the right thing for his family, but all the wrong way. And then the second season was really about how the ramifications of that decision.
Right.
This season is really about him coming to grips with being this new guy. He's become a darker guy. And,
yeah.
And from the onset, Vince Gilligan wanted to do something that's never been done on television. And that's to start a series with a character a certain way. In my case, a milquetoast, very sweet chemistry high school teacher. And have him completely change. By the end of this series,
yeah,
I will be like Scarface.
Listen, by tonight's episode, you scare me.
Yeah,
you've got blood in your eyes starting tonight. Even I'm like, wow, he's things are not going to go
well.
Yeah.
Today is the marathon of Breaking Bad for the first two seasons, and then starting Sunday is our premiere.
Oh,
Sunday
right.
on AMC is our premiere.
Boy, I got to tell you, the first episode that I saw that my wife showed me was the one where you took that person and you put him in a bathtub and then you burned him with acid.
That was rough.
That was awesome.
Is that wrong to do?
No, that was the first episode that I saw. I was like, all right, I'm in. I got to go back and catch up, and I needed to start from the beginning and get into it because that's my kind of show.
Yeah, it's dirty, but you know what I loved about that is that we use chemistry in the show in the storyline, which is fun for me to teach it and to learn it.
Yeah,
and it's a different element to the show, which is fascinating.
When I was in school, they always told me you'll use this later in life, and I didn't believe them. But your character absolutely does. Absolutely.
Exactly. If ever you want to dissolve a body,
right.
You know how.
Dissolve a body or make meth, go to chemistry and really pay attention. Brian, the show is fantastic. It's one of my favorite shows. I'm glad that you came on. When you're in town, do come by, please.
That sounds great.
Season 3 starts this Sunday night at 10, 9 Central on AMC, and you can start today if you want to catch up on some of the episodes.
Awesome.
It's a really, really great show, and if you're not watching it, you need to.
Thanks,
you, Brian.
Really,
talk to you soon. Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 7:26. Well-oiled machine today.
Always.
Friday morning. Ralph is here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
About a half a dozen new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. You want to take a look at some of the ones that may be more interesting to you? And some of them that I can't imagine would be interesting to anyone. But look, I've been wrong before. Greenberg opens this weekend in limited release. This is the new movie starring Ben Stiller, Jennifer Jason Leigh. Ben Stiller is a neurotic 40-ish man who finds himself house-sitting for his brother and not doing anything with his life and pondering and wondering if he's just lost the best part of himself.
Yeah. They're house sitting. Answer yes.
Here's the thing. It's a comedy.
Yeah. Oh,
is it supposed to be?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be sort of a poignant, you know, self-loathing sort of comedy. Look, once Ben Stiller enters in neurotic mode, I'm out. I like him when he's funny and goofy.
Over the top cartoonish.
Yeah, like,
to me.
Give me
Zoolander?
Zoolander or Dodgeball. Remember his character in Dodgeball, how funny that was? Or Tropic Thunder. I mean, when he's funny, I like him. Starsky and Hutch. But when he starts getting all navel-gazing, I'm out. Here's a scene where he is talking to the actress Greta Gerwig, who plays Florence, and she's talking about how impressed she is by Greenberg, Ben Stiller's character, because he's fine with just doing nothing.
I'm impressed by you.
In what way?
I don't know. I mean, you seem really fine doing nothing. It's like you don't feel all the pressure to be successful. I mean, by other people's standards.
You know, I almost had a record deal when I got out of college. I haven't done nothing.
Cool.
I want to be doing nothing. I'm doing nothing deliberately.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I could do nothing and be that cool with everything.
There you go. People who are doing nothing may go see this movie. But that would be doing something. So
yeah.
Maybe they won't.
So maybe they won't.
The Runaways opens this weekend. It is the story of the legendary Los Angeles band, The Runaways, who were formed in 1975. Joan Jett, of course, was the guitarist for that band and went on to a very popular solo career. Cherie Curry was the lead singer. This was a band that was pretty much put together by all accounts, way creepy dude Kim Fowley.
Oh.
Who pretty much perused the clubs of the Sunset Strip, found some teenage girls, and put them together into a band, thinking a little jailbait might sell some records. And he was right. They became very popular for about 5 years, from 75 to 80. Kristen Stewart stars as Joan Jett, Dakota Fanning, Cherie Curry, Michael Shannon stars as Kim Fowley, and some dude plays Roddy Bingenheimer, apparently.
Also, Kristen Stewart is really going to have to step it up for this, right?
Well, here's the thing. Joan Jett, in real life, was always sort of quiet and demure anyway. On stage, she was a tiger, but in real life, she was sort of laid back. So the casting isn't as crazy as you might think. And, of course, there had been talk and It happened. Joan Jett was a lesbian, and Cherie Curry dabbled in bisexuality, so apparently they had a relationship during the course of The Runaways as well. Here is a scene between Michael Shannon, who plays Kim Fowley, as I mentioned, the manager and founder of The Runaways, inviting smoking hot 16-year-old Cherie Curry, played by Dakota Fanning, to be the blonde bombshell lead singer of The Runaways.
I like your style. A little Bowie, a little Bardot. A look on your face that says I can kick the out of a truck driver. Joni, this is Joan Jett. You are?
Cherie.
Cherie.
Curry.
Well, Cherie Curry, do you sing or play a musical instrument?
Yeah. Yeah, I can sing. I want a talent show, lip singing and doing the Bowie. Why?
We love your look. We are choosing you to be a part of rock and roll history. Do you want to be in the band?
Are you kidding?
Runaways, rock and roll history. Made in this movie. You want to check it out. And if you want to see the real story of The Runaways, there is also a documentary that came out about 4 years ago, I guess, called Edge Play, made by one of the bass players of the band. They went through a couple different bass players, but she was the director of the film. And she interviews all the members of The Runaways now, except for Joan Jett, and gets their take on what happened during those very tumultuous years of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But looks like an interesting film. I'm going to check it out this weekend. Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Seen the billboards, that's all I know.
Yeah, seventh grader Greg outlines the events and adventures of his daily life in a diary that his mother forces him to keep, and it is this is a very popular webcomic that has been turned into a motion picture. Zachary Gordon plays Greg in the movie, and here he is commenting on his popularity, or lack thereof, at school.
I might even have a shot at the top spot by the end of the year, if things go the way I think they will.
Well, who's at the bottom?
Hey guys, wanna see my secret freckle? Frankly, sent home for hygiene issues at least once a month. Check it out. It's got a hair in it.
What color is that?
You want to help me name it?
It's for tweens. I mean, this was a popular book series as well for kids.
Was it?
Yeah, who were 12, 13, so they might enjoy it this weekend. The Bounty Hunter, romantic comedy between Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston, who plays his ex-wife. He's a bounty hunter. She's his ex-wife. And he gets the assignment of having to bring her back into jail because she has jumped bail. What are the odds?
And that makes him very upset, or he's happy about it?
It makes him
happy. Yeah.
Because he doesn't like her anymore. But I think eventually they start to rekindle their romance. Just a stab in the dark. Just a guess here.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it may turn out that way. Here is a scene where Gerard Butler's confronting Jennifer Aniston at the racetrack before he breaks the news to her.
I don't know what you're up to, but I'm working.
Oh, working? Me too.
And what I do is I hunt down criminals, idiots who jump bail.
You are a bounty hunter?
Yep. As much as it pains me to say this, and it really does, I gotta take you to jail. You want to make a break for it? I will give you a 10-second head start for old time's sake.
I am an adult.
10. Nine.
Do you really think that I
eight,
was...
8. 7. She takes off!
She runs.
She runs!
These are two likable people. Although, he, when he does romantic comedies, I don't know, something's off
he
with him.
He does not work for me in that role. He really
but
doesn't.
He looks good in this one.
Yeah, it looks good in this one.
Okay. It depends on the director, I would bet, a lot. This type of movie with
and
the tone and
the lines.
Sure. Yeah.
But you got to love her, so
yeah.
They got a lot going for her in the Bounty Hunter movie. And Repo Man also opens this weekend.
That's what I'm talking
Jude
about.
Jude Law and Forest Whitaker star as two dudes who sit in the near future where we live in a world where artificial organs are pretty much readily available for purchase. Here's the thing, they're very expensive.
Yeah.
And if you fall behind on your payments for your artificial organ, well, the Repo Men come. And they take your liver, or your heart, or your kidney, or whatever part.
They take it back?
Yes.
Yeah, they repossess it. They
you
repossess
can't pay,
your artificial organ.
Like a car. If you can't pay, they take it back in the middle of the night.
Seems perfectly reasonable to me. If you can't pay for your organ, you lose it.
This looks awesome.
That's the way it works. They come and they take it out of your body.
We're going to have that back. Thank you now.
But what happens when one of the repo men needs a new organ, and he gets one, and then he can't afford to keep up on his payments, and his partner has to come after him and take his?
That seems bad.
How does he handle it? Now that the labor is on the other foot. Here's a scene from Repo Man where Jude Law saves Forrest Whitaker, his partner's life.
You alright?
What are you doing?
Thought you needed help.
I had him. You see I had my knife in his side?
I knocked him down. He goes on my count.
You're joking me, right?
Jay.
I've been working on this guy for 10 minutes. 10 minutes I've been working on this guy. You're going to come in here and just hit him inside there with a pipe?
Looks great. Jude Law and Forrest Whitaker. Great chemistry in this. Looks like a very entertaining, very interesting action film. You know, check it out this weekend.
And
Repo Man.
And later this morning, we're going to talk to Forrest Whitaker.
What?
How about that?
What are the odds?
Oh, Repo Man.
That sounds great. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We got to wrap up a little unfinished business from St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions from St. Patrick's Day that we have no answers to.
Well, here's the thing. When you drink as much as we did,
allegedly.
I'm just saying. You're kidding.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to lose part of your day. You're going to lose a taste.
Mm-hmm.
And after the show, towards the end of the show, I guess things started to get a little fuzzy for me. And then apparently I hung around Casey's downtown in Los Angeles, the pub there, and I had some more cocktails, and I was hanging out talking to some people.
Right.
And those conversations are just shadows, really, to me. Just flickers.
No faces, really. No words.
Yeah, I get a vibe. Like, I remember going to a back room at some point or anything.
Really?
Yeah, and there was a big long table and a bunch of guys in there, and there was a conversation being had. And I wasn't really sure. And then I woke up the next morning, and I read the texts on my cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And I got one from a guy named Doug O'Neill, who said, "Hi, it's Doug, the horse trainer. We talked yesterday, and I just want to say how glad we are to have you as part owner of our horse." So apparently at some point during the St. Patrick's Day festivities, I became a part owner of a thoroughbred racing horse.
But you didn't wake up later and go, "Did I own a horse?" It did that.
No, I wake up and say, "Oh, I remember yesterday. That was my horse day." I was completely caught off guard by the text.
Text was the first time you heard about it.
Yes.
Awesome.
And I was like, that's a... And then I got another text. "Hey, Doug again. Let you know we need a name for the horse, and we want you to get your input." And I don't know anything about horses. I don't know how I got involved in the horse racing business, but apparently now I am a part owner of a horse.
Well, that's great news for you. I mean, depending on what check you have to write.
Yeah, my wife is thrilled with the idea that I'm going to have to be, sending $2,000 over to the barn for oats or something
every week.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to go on.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we should talk to Doug so I could find out what exactly I got myself into on St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
You didn't take advantage of Ralph because he was drunk, did you?
God, I didn't think this would get on air, but sorry, Ralph.
Did I write you a check, Doug? My wife needs to know if I wrote you a check at any point.
It was a postdated third-party check. I didn't know what to make of it, but we're going to give it a go. But
if you could do me a favor, could you just please recap our conversation on St. Patrick's Day so I have a little idea of what exactly transpired?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Ralph, actually I went to school with Mark Verge, who runs Casey's.
which was a pub. Okay.
It was a great, great bar we were at on St. Patrick's Day.
Going nuts. So he called me. He's like, you won't believe it, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, Lisa, the whole crew's down here. And I'm like, what? And I do horrible impressions, but I'm always doing the Carl Malone and the Mike Tyson at home.
Sure, right.
And so I said, oh, man, you got to get Ralph in the game. We got to somewhere or another get Ralph in the horse race.
Now, you're game, a horse, so. You're a horse trainer, right?
Owner or trainer?
Trainer.
Trainer, not owner. Okay.
Yeah, I own a little bits and pieces of a few. But, yeah, it's such a great sport, and it's one of those, I love the Lakers, I love the Kings, but when you go to those games, you're just watching. You're not really part of it. You're not out there on the court or on the ice. And, you know, with horse racing, you can actually be part of the sport. And it's just, it's something that, just to have you on the team, Ralph, would be huge. And I think you'll have a blast.
Well, I do love the ponies. I mean, we used to do events down at Santa Anita Racetrack here in Southern California where we used to have a racing day with everybody from the morning show. And I've been to the Hollywood Park as well. And I love the races. I just don't know anything about horses, really.
You're perfect. That's a perfect guy.
Perfect sucker. You're going to take all my money.
Here's what we need to know.
Someone told me yesterday, you know how you make a small fortune in horse racing? Start with a big one. So now I'm worried.
Here's what we need to know. What promises were made?
Well, you know, actually, I wasn't even there. I heard through Mark that,
So I didn't talk to you on St. Patrick's Day.
You didn't talk to me.
There's someone else who suckered me into this deal. Yeah, I'm telling you, the conversation is very, very fuzzy for me.
But you're part of a 2-year-old colt.
Yeah. How big a part of the colt is he?
Are you a quarter? 25%?
25%!
Yeah, we got Casey's bars, 25%. Ralph, you're 25%, and,
How much is that, going to run, Ralph.
Yeah, what's that cost, the 25% we'll ownership?
We'll talk off the air.
Aren't thoroughbreds super expensive?
Well, you know, the beauty of it, yeah, there are a lot of, like, sheiks and wealthy people involved, but there's also a lot of blue-collar guys.
You know Ralph's not a sheik, right?
Someone had told me it had something to do with Dubai. But But there are a lot of our horses here, or there's, like, 10 guys put money together and just, you know, take good care of the horses and go watch them run every 3 or 4 weeks, and it's a blast. So it'll be a great time. But believe me, money wise, don't even worry about it. You're covered. Casey's going to pay your part.
Oh, okay, good. Some more information we don't know.
Wow, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Only now Casey's going to be holding the Casey. Yeah. Casey's going to break his leg.
There are going to be guys who show up at my house with baseball bats. Aren't there?
Guido and Bruno.
Yeah, guys with broken noses are going to come and have to have a conversation with me. And I'm going to get in the back of some sedan, and I'm going to end up in a dump someplace with two in the back of the base of my skull.
And we're going to have to say, you know what? We saw it coming. We did. We saw it coming. We have to tell the reporters that.
Did I sign anything at any point at St. Patrick's Day, as far as you know, Doug?
Complete verbal contract.
Then I'm going to deny it ever happened. Because I'm very afraid of what's going to happen with this transaction.
Well, you should be.
Yes.
It's a world that's very expensive that you know nothing about.
Yeah, well, that's always a good investment to get into. Yeah. Something you know nothing about that's very expensive.
I've completely closed. Yeah, no, it'll be, believe me, it'll be a riot. And got any morning come down here to Hollywood Park and watch them train. And it's a really cool environment and great community.
Before you get all excited about Ralph's participation, you might want to listen to his idea for what the name should be.
Yeah, I'm thinking Sharktopus. That should be the horse's name.
Sharktopus.
Sharktopus.
Sharktopus. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, just let that one.
Half shark, half octopus.
Interesting.
Winner. That'll be our slogan.
It's a science fiction movie that they're making
on the sci-fi channel that I desperately want to be in.
Right.
Oh, then that's a given.
No, I'm thinking, perfect. Wouldn't that be great? And here comes Sharktopus surrounding around the corner. And Sharktopus in the lead. And Sharktopus by 3 legs. And Sharktopus is the winner. This sounds great to me in my head.
So you might want to reconsider his participation, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we might have to huddle up on that name, but no,
huddle up.
Yeah, he looks like a sharktopus. Yeah, I can see it.
He's got 8 legs.
Not a horse you want, then. I'll tell you that right now. It's all deformed.
Well, Doug, thanks for clearing things up for me. I'll talk to you off the air, and I'll find out more about exactly what I said I'd do here. But I appreciate you thinking of me when it came to suckers.
Yeah, get out of here. You're the best. Hey, thanks
for all
you guys.
No problem.
Thanks, Doug.
Talk to you later.
All right, it helps you to know you didn't talk to him.
Seems like a nice guy, and I didn't talk to him directly. Maybe I'm not on the hook for too much.
Oh, you're in. You're on the hook.
We'll have to see how this plays out.
The baseball bats, the knees, they're all coming together soon.
I'm going to the witness relocation program.
Yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You know, Lady Gaga is a huge fan of Culture Club lead singer Boy George.
She wants to be him.
Didn't know that.
No, she doesn't want to be him. Oh. She's just a fan of her work.
Right.
And Boy George is also a fan of Lady Gaga's work.
Makes sense.
They've been hanging out. They recently met, and Boy George said in a recent interview, I think she's worked hard and she is talented. I haven't been around that kind of circus in years, so it was quite a sort of, oh my God, you know, I've been that woman, he says, regarding Lady Gaga
That's
on
true.
Stage. It's true. He used to dress up with the makeup and everything, right?
That's accurate.
It was kind of interesting from the outside looking in. She was very sweet. And here's my favorite part of the interview. She asked me to autograph her vagina.
What?
What?
With what?
I didn't have a pen. Hmm. But apparently Lady Gaga asked Boy George to sign her vagina.
And was her plan to then tattoo it?
I don't know. Psycho Mike did that with Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all
surprised.
Ozzy
Osbourne signed his vagina, and then he tattooed it. It was very interesting. Wow, Hollywood's a rough town. You get a gig, a week later, boom, you're out of that gig.
Yeah.
It happened to psychic Aiden Chase, who was hired as Heidi Montag's business manager last week. However, apparently she is firing psychic Aiden Chase as her manager and as her psychic. I've decided to part ways with Mr. Chase, both as a manager and as a psychic, and will scrutinize my business decisions more carefully in the future. I will now be managing my own career as a strong and independent woman, she tells People magazine.
Yes, second only to representing yourself in court.
Yes, that's the other good choice.
The level of being dumb.
So she's gone through two managers in a week. Spencer Pratt, her husband, was her business manager. Then she fired him for Malibu psychic Aiden Chase.
Shouldn't the psychic have known it was only going to last a week and
you
not taking the
seen
job?
That coming, really?
Seriously?
Yeah. I get the sense I will be free a week from now. Mr. Chase doesn't know what happened.
Yeah, he's a psychic. That's what happened, and she's a dumbass.
Apparently, she wasn't pleased with his behavior on the set of The Hills recently.
Hmm.
Word has it he was speaking with Audrina Patridge.
Oh, no, he didn't.
And maybe Heidi was jealous and decided to cut him loose. Maybe he was asking Audrina if she had seen Heidi because he didn't recognize her because of all the plastic surgery he was looking for.
She's not here. I haven't seen her.
Can you point out Heidi Montag? I'm supposed to be her manager, but I don't know which one she is.
It was her, actually, he was talking to.
That's right. Christy Turlington, smoking hot supermodel, has talked to the New York Post this week and says she'd like to have 5 kids.
Isn't she
How old is she?
Better get to it. She's in her 40s.
Yeah.
Get to it.
Yeah, that 5 kids is a lot.
She better become single mom.
When
just
you're
put
young.
Them all in one belly and just knock them out.
Can you just do that?
Pentamom. she said she looks forward to her children so she can introduce them to the magic of meditation. Alrighty then, maybe
those
you shouldn't be having
fun,
any kids.
Fun,
what's
fun.
Happening?
Maybe you don't need to have any
that's
children.
That's probably the strangest reason to have
I
kids
can't
ever.
Wait to introduce my children to the magic of meditation.
Oh, they're going
to
love it so
yeah.
much.
Jesse James apologized yesterday to his wife and his kids after this whole situation came out about him possibly cheating on Sandra Bullock. Maybe, maybe not. We're not really sure because he did apologize and said the entire situation was his responsibility. But he also said that the vast majority of the allegations were untrue and unfounded. So what's he apologizing for then if he didn't do what she said, this broad said he did?
That's a good question.
But he didn't say they were all untrue and
the vast
unfounded.
Majority.
The vast majority. What does that
so
mean?
So maybe he had a little sex with her? Just a little bit? Just a little
Just a
bit.
Tiny bit.
Just that much?
TMZ has pictures of her dressed up as in Hitler memorabilia.
Oh, good.
Well, sure.
Swastikas.
Michelle Bombshell McGee.
Yeah.
Tattoo model.
Mm-hmm.
Did do a photo shoot as a Nazi.
There's that.
Like that makes her a bad person?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm going to go with yes on that one.
Because she has a swastika tattooed on her stomach, is that a bad thing?
I'm going to say again, yes.
Because she's got W and P on her thigh standing for white power, is that necessarily a negative?
Negative.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, all those are negatives.
You are picky when it comes to the ladies.
Just saying. Some things are easy calls, that's one of them.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Rachel Blanchard, who is on Clueless, the TV series. Very lovely and talented actress. She is 34 years old today. Drummer Zach Lynn of Jimmy Eat World turns 34 as well. Glenn Close from Damages over there on the FX. I've tried to watch that show, and I just cannot get on board.
Me neither.
Every season, I sit down and say, all right, now I'm going to watch. And I just bear down, and I just watch really carefully, and then I go, ugh.
Going to the bathroom or watching TV?
Both.
Kind of the same.
have a TV in the bathroom?
Yes. And Bruce Willis, superstar movie actor, is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, and every Friday morning we have Adam Carolla on the program for This Week in Rage. Adam is on the phone today. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on.
Hi, Adam.
Now, the last couple of weeks, you've been working on your TV show, correct?
That is correct. And sadly, this week, I'm heading to Lancaster to train for the Celebrity Grand Prix of Long Beach.
A little behind the scenes on Adam. Here's how it happens. Hey, Adam, you want to come in every Friday? Yeah. Okay. Listen, I got to shoot a TV show, and I'm going to race cars.
So I'll see you in
a couple of weeks. So we had listeners fill in for you for a couple of weeks, Adam, but I'm glad you're back for This Week in Rage. You are training for the Long Beach Grand Prix. When is that?
That is, I think it's the middle of April.
I think it's
like the 16th or something like that. It's like a middle Saturday in April.
And you're in the celebrity race part of it.
Yeah, I'm in the celebrity race part of it. And they actually have like Adrian Brody and Keanu Reeves and Anthony Anderson.
Oh,
wow.
Patrick Warburton and Tony Hawk. They have a pretty good group this year.
I will give you $100 if you take out Keanu.
Well, he won last year, so...
Just right at the beginning. Just clip the tail of his car. Just send him into the infield.
You can't let that stand.
I will do that for you.
All right. Nice. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for his podcast. He's also going to be live at the Brea Improv March 31st. He's going to be at the Borderline Bar and Grill April 2nd, which is the day before our April Foolishness, where he will also be.
Cool.
Adam, you got this time for This Week in Rage?
Sure do.
Let's get it on.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
People who throw gum on the ground. I just stepped in some the other day. And first off, here's the thing that's crazy about gum. It goes bad in your mouth. It's no good anymore. There's no flavor in it anymore, so you spit it out. But then it hits the blacktop, and it heats up, and it reactivates, and you step in it. Because when you step in it, you get this big whoosh of spearmint. And I'm thinking, what happened to all that flavor when it was in the guy's mouth, which is the reason he spat it out in the first place? But here's the deal. Everybody, have some decency. Have some courtesy. Have some common sense. Find a goddamn trash can. You didn't just get punched in the stomach, really? You just have to spit it out? And don't spit it in the parking lot because it's on the blacktop.
Yeah.
And it absorbs the heat. It turns into liquid. And once you step in it, it's over.
Yep.
You leave that trail, you can't get it off. People from a distance don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You're doing that weird foot move like you're a horse or a bull ready to charge. And you never completely remove it from your tennis shoe. It just gets dirt stuck to it and eventually stops sticking to your carpet. But you can never remove hot gum from the tread of your tennis shoe.
But on the positive side, you smell minty.
You do. Your right foot smells minty fresh. But listen, stick it under the table at the diner.
No.
Or spit it into the trash can.
Trash can is fine. We don't need it under the table either.
Anywhere but on the ground. I'm with Adam. Anywhere but on the ground.
Anywhere but where somebody is going to walk into it, getting into the goddamn car, you animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Super annoying. And
I don't feel like we're doing a good job getting this message across because we're all about littering and secondhand smoke and all that stuff. Nobody says, hey, a-hole, get the gum in your mouth and spit it into a trash can. We'll beat the crap out of you.
About a month ago, I sat in gum.
So I had it
on my ass. And you can't get that off. And now you're picking your ass.
Can I ask this? As a whole, I feel like gum chewers are just bad people, right?
I chew gum.
They care less than the average human being.
No.
I'm going to go with yes.
True.
I'm going to go with yes.
I've never seen Al Gore or Ed Begley Jr. chomping away on gum.
We do it to keep our breath fresh. That's thoughtful.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is it really should have a warning on the packet that says do not throw it in the parking lot of the diner so animals step in it.
Yeah.
All next, right. Next a-hole move. I have never thought about this, but I'd like to now outlaw the jukebox.
Outlaw the jukebox?
Yes. You know, too many people with tin ears playing too much bad music, destroying your bar-going experience.
Now, which bars are you going to where they still have jukeboxes?
I went to a bar after we wrapped the TV pilot on Friday night. I went to a bar in Hollywood that had one of those electronic ones with all the CDs in it.
Right.
And I was sitting there trying to enjoy my Sam Adams when I heard Marilyn Manson's Tainted Love.
All right, that's not bad.
No, it's horrible.
It's horrible is what I meant.
Tainted Love is a horrible song in the first place, and Marilyn Manson's butchery of it makes it that much worse. But it's not good. You know, Johnny Cash I could handle.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think you shouldn't have anything in a jukebox that was made after 1975.
I'm down with that.
All Four Seasons, Beach Boys, and Johnny Cash. Nobody wants to hear Tainted Love, and especially Marilyn Manson's crappy electro version of Tainted Love on coming out of a jukebox. And then Under the Bridge came on by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I actually got up and left. Because I thought, who needs to hear this crappy song one more time? You hear it in your car, you hear it at home, you hear it when you close your eyes and try to go to bed at night.
Sure.
You really have to go to a bar and listen to Under the Bridge for the 55,000th time in your career, really?
And we have it coming up again next.
But it shouldn't be a choice.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying, look, I don't know if you should pass some sort of test to be able to handle the jukebox, or we should just get rid of it altogether, or have some sort of sanctioning body that says you can't play Marilyn Manson's Tainted Love. But either way,
you have to walk up.
Johnny Cash.
There should be somebody there that is like a bouncer for nightclubs, and you tell them what you want to play, and they go, nope, turn around and go back and sit down.
Huge guy. A guy who looks like Suge Knight wearing a turtleneck sweater.
I like it.
Standing in front of a velvet rope.
Right.
And says, take your quarters and walk them back to your table before I get angry.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, Marilyn Manson. And the last one, number one. Now, here's a concept. You know, you see ants walking around. Ants are very orderly. They hang out in a farm, or they have a colony, and
sure,
they walk in a straight line.
Always a straight line.
Yesterday, I saw the one rogue ant just hanging around my sink. And then I thought, well, it must be a scout for the other ants going on ahead. But then I thought, maybe it's a hobo ant. Maybe it's just an ant that's like an a-hole ant that drinks too much, that has ostracized itself from the colony. Like, is there such a thing as just an ant where all the other ants went, you know what, that one ant, a-hole ant.
Don't want him around anymore.
Yeah, don't want you around. Go hang around Corolla's sink.
We
don't need you here anymore.
Was he pushing an...
Yes.
I'm sorry, was he pushing an ant shopping cart?
He had a dog with a bandana on.
All right, the same thing.
I'm just saying, maybe ants aren't as smart and orderly as we think they are.
Well,
maybe there's just a weird Courtney Love ant who's just walking around and they're like, you know what? I got kicked out of the ant farm. Too much boozing and womanizing.
What do I do now?
Yeah. So I'm just saying, maybe they're not quite what we think they are.
Let's not give them too much credit.
Maybe they're just hobo ants.
All right.
I had to kill it. I put it out of its misery.
Aww. No, you did the right thing, because you got to think about the quality of life.
Not only that, you think, what if it's not a rogue hobo ant? What if it's a scout ant?
That's right.
I'm going to go back and tell everybody where my sink is.
Right. This is where the gold is. Follow me.
Put it out of its misery.
All right, Adam. Thank you.
Good times.
This Week in Rage, go to AdamCarolla.com for the podcast, and he's going to be in the Long Beach Grand Prix trying to take out Keanu Reeves. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and I don't know if you've seen the story or not, but Larry Flint, who of course publishes Hustler,
mm-hmm,
is going to write a book.
Is he?
He's going to write a book about the sex lives of the presidents of the United States of America.
Really?
You know, he's long been interested in that.
Yeah.
So we thought we would talk to him today and find out some of the details. Larry?
Good morning, Kevin. Bean, how are you?
Very good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, we see that you're going to write a book.
Yeah, I'm teaming up with David Eisenbach, who is from Columbia University.
Oh, really?
And we're writing a book about these. It's called One Nation Under Sex, How the Private Lives of Presidents and First Lady Shaped America.
All right, that sounds interesting, because you always wonder before the current day of the internet how much of that went on and was
sure. Yeah. And there's, of course, you know, Bill Clinton in his time.
Sure.
His sex life was very, very widely known. But a lot of the presidents had even more wild sexual adventures than he did, and we don't know anything about it because the press didn't cover those.
Now, how do you find this stuff out? How do you research this?
Well, you have to read the letters and books from people who knew these men and women when they were in office.
All right.
And you can find out a lot about their private lives from people who worked at the White House back in that time. Like Thomas Jefferson famously, of course, had sex with one of his slaves.
Right.
Sally Hemings, a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that we found that out from people who worked for Jefferson at the time. But George Washington, for example, is not very widely known. That the wooden teeth wasn't the only part of George Washington that was wooden.
Is that right?
Yes. That's where the word Woody comes from.
I didn't realize that.
Having a Woody.
All right.
Came from George Washington.
Who knew?
Who had a wooden penis. That's originally why he chopped down the cherry tree.
Is that right?
Yeah. He was making himself one.
I didn't realize that either.
Used the tree.
There's a lot of information out there.
Yeah, he was big. Andrew Jackson could only have sex in a tub full of Rice Krispies.
What?
It's true.
A tub full of Rice Krispies.
Yeah, the only way he could get aroused.
Wow.
Okay.
By Rice Krispies.
All right.
Odd. Martin Van Buren was a woman.
What are you talking about?
He was a chick. Martin Vaj Buren, they used to call him.
I don't think that's true.
Wow.
James Polk.
Yes.
Invented poking. That's why they call it, give somebody a poke.
You're making all of this up, aren't you?
I'm not. I read these things.
Okay.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, has long been considered to be the president who's got the biggest penis.
Okay.
But it's not true at all.
It isn't.
That honor actually belongs to Millard Fillmore. Fillmore.
Oh, I see.
God damn it. Pay attention.
Sorry.
Fillmore.
Right. Got it.
Abraham Lincoln was long thought to be gay.
I didn't realize that either.
Yes. There's a group of gay Republicans known as Lincoln Republicans because it was rumored that he was actually homosexual.
Hmm.
And not just because he took a shot to the face when he was killed. And that we found that it's actually true.
What?
Yeah, he was gay.
How do
you found
that?
That's true? How do you know?
Because that's where we get the Lincoln log from. It's from fellas who...
It's not true.
It's not true.
Not at all.
Grover Cleveland...
Yes.
...was president twice.
Okay.
The 22nd and 24th president. First time was as a man, second time as a woman.
I see it again.
People don't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Groverina Cleveland was her name.
I didn't realize that.
Warren Harding.
Uh-huh.
That writes itself.
Sure, right? Harding,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your whole chapter.
Herbert Hoover.
Uh-huh.
Same thing.
It writes itself.
Sure. Pretty much all the jokes about oral sex. There.
Right. Got it.
Yeah. The Bushes.
Right.
This is just too easy, really.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, back at home.
Yes,
excited,
where we belong.
Sleeping in our beds. Miss Kat Corbett, who also works at the radio station, is not as at home as she is in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, hey, Texas?
Hey, Kat.
What the hell was that?
All right, for those of you that don't know South by Southwest, it's a huge, huge music festival.
And film.
And film festival.
Don't forget the films.
And there's a little downtown area where there's bar after bar after bar, and they all have stages, and there's a lot of drinking that goes on.
College town.
Kat, how long have you been there?
Oh, my God, you guys are punishers for calling me right now.
But I'm saying how... Punisher was my name.
It was a bad idea before we did it.
That was my porn name, by the way. The Punisher.
Punisher. Coachella.
Yeah. But you've only been there for like 2 days, right?
I know. I'm just getting started.
Yes. That's what I like about you. Now, what have you seen that was good?
Oh, you want me to remember?
Well, someone. Does anyone stand out?
Is it just a guy you wanted to remember or a band?
No, we called you since you can growl over the phone. That's why we called. I'm offering something.
Is Psycho Mike there? Can we say hi to him?
Heidi, he's in the Lou.
Oh, okay.
The Lou.
I need to look at my pictures to remember. But
wow.
What I recall. last night, the XX were really great at like 1 in the morning. And they're playing Coachella, so I recommend them highly. And Boxer Rebellion, I saw. And
have to put up subtitles for Kat.
Broken Bells, and I've seen Spoon and Band of Horses, and I'm going to see Hole today.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That'll be good.
Is it Muse playing today?
They're playing tonight. I'm just not sure if I'm going to go or not.
Are you crazy?
I know, but the point of this festival is to see stuff I haven't seen before.
Right, but
true. Yeah,
and you're going to do mostly that.
Wait, I got these Japanese girls into a club last night. They're from a band called Chat Munchie.
Chat Munchie.
And they don't speak a word of English other than saying thank you and gin and tonic.
Okay.
And they're apparently really big in Japan, and they're playing Japan Night tonight. So.
All right. Sounds great. I'd love to see Chat Munchie. Yeah, that's great. Like 15.
Now, are you planning to see Airtight Britney? I know they're playing tonight.
No, they aren't.
They're not playing today. Okay, I have wrong information.
Are you going to have time scheduling your tracheotomy in around all the different bands that you're going to see?
Oh, my God. We had an awesome showcase last night with the Roxy. They put it together. Street Sweeper, Social Club played. And She Wants Revenge and Crash Kings and Carney. And that was really awesome. So I feel good about that.
Sure.
Yes, you will. You should.
And I think my voice is okay today because I did shots of whiskey last night, which I think helped.
Yeah, no, your voice is real good.
Never sound better.
Yeah, it's tip top. Yep. You're in the best shape we've ever heard.
Hope someone pulls you up on stage, you can do a couple numbers at some point.
Kat loses her voice quicker than anyone I've ever met in my life. Honestly.
Even when she's regular, even when she's fine, she sounds like that.
Right, and then she has like one shot of whiskey and it's all gone.
I'm not that man.
Oh, you are.
You're absolutely. Batman, first of all.
I can't wait till she's like 50.
And by the way, Saturday night, Christian Bale Says No is playing. You need to check them out. A very good band. A lot of people not aware of them. Along with Ball Sack Road Rash. What?
I haven't seen him yet.
What?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Murray's in town?
He's apparently everyone's hung out with him except for me. So.
Wow. Oh, well, you got to fix that.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you see any movies? Did you see Kick-Ass or any in the feature films?
No, I just came down for the music part because the film part's earlier in the week. So. Yeah.
And she can only take like 2-3 days. Yeah, that's
come
it.
On, you guys. Right.
Yeah, you don't understand. This
she
is
dies.
An endurance test. Okay.
No, I know. No,
you lose.
And you're failing.
Yeah, every year. Test, you lose.
And every year.
You sound like crap.
But then you don't. Get in shape. I mean, last week I was like, are you drinking to get in shape? You got to get, you know,
she
get
started.
She's
drinking like scream a lot.
Right.
For 3 months.
She's like a newbie. She's the first time she's ever been there.
It's like I'm a virgin all over again.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't think that's the case. All right, Kat.
Yeah.
Stay alive.
Whatever we you will do, find stay you. Alive.
Now,
oh my God.
You are, are you putting up pictures and video and stuff?
Have you been checking Krock.com?
Not a bit. No.
Nope.
Yeah, I've been uploading pictures, and lightning's been cropping out what I was focusing on.
Sure. Of course. Yeah,
that's good. That's what you want.
Crack website staff really is very helpful.
That's okay. What you want, is for somebody to take out the good parts.
I love when I send a picture of the cake cupcake truck, and he edits out the cupcake on top of the roof.
So now it's just a truck?
And it's a white van.
Yeah.
Yeah. How could the cupcake on top of the truck be the interesting part? All right, Kat, stay alive.
I miss you guys.
We miss you, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'd say have fun, but it sounds like you have that covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'll stick with the stay alive.
Stay alive.
Yes, goodbye, Kat.
Bye, Kat.
Wait, here's my favorite part. Right here.
You're listening to K-Bach, your classical musical station. K-Bach.
Faith No More. Playing Coachella. Very excited
K-Bach!
About that. Yeah, B-A-C-H. I get it. Not that good. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 8:57. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here to take a look at the showbiz beat.
Jesse James, did he cheat on his wife Sandra Bullock? Well, he didn't say as much, but he did release a statement yesterday issuing an apology to his wife and kids for the embarrassment beyond comprehension he admitted he has caused them, accepting full responsibility for the situation. However, he also said that the vast majority of the allegations made by Michelle Bombshell McGee to the In Touch Weekly tabloid were untrue and unfounded, Jesse claims. So.
Vast majority. So that means he had sex with her once?
A little bit of sex, maybe. Or Bombshell maybe claims they had a torrid affair. And meanwhile, rumors are swirling that she was paid $30,000 for the story by In Touch Weekly magazine.
Oh, wow.
So maybe she embellished a little bit to make it a little bit more worth $30,000.
I would. I mean, not that I would do that, but I'm saying.
If you would.
She might.
You would.
Yeah, I would.
Lady Gaga has a fan in Boy George.
That's a couple.
Apparently the two met recently, and Lady Gaga admitted that she was a huge fan of Boy George. Boy George reciprocated, saying she works hard. I think she's quite talented. And I've been that woman, he said, regarding her career, which is true. But it was also interesting that apparently, according to George, Lady Gaga asked him to autograph her vagina. I didn't have a pen, though, Boy George said.
So he used...
That's a good question.
Nothing. He didn't do it. Come on, it's Boy George.
Good point. Not interested.
Not interested in Lady Gaga.
He's got his own.
Yeah.
Vagina.
Mr. Gaga, maybe she would be, but not Lady Gaga. Daniel Craig had better watch his back. Robert Pattinson wants to be James Bond.
Oh.
The Light and the Loafer star of Twilight said he'd love to play 007.
Yeah, me too.
But he said that he's not a great runner.
Runner?
Yeah, so the role would require some training because it probably takes a lot of running to be James Bond.
But what said. There's a lot of fighting.
I was like, how do you not be able to run?
I don't know. How are you bad at running?
He just is.
You have your head up your ass.
Oh, come on. Don't be like
that. Look, there are a lot of people that could be James Bond. He's not one of them.
No. Just because he's British doesn't mean he could be James Bond. I reject that totally. Ryan Seacrest released on his Twitter account Wednesday night the fact that Lacey Brown had been eliminated from his TV series that he hosts, American Idol. Here's the problem. He did it 17 minutes before it was announced on Fox Television.
Oops.
Sent out the message on his Twitter account to his followers saying that Lacey was eliminated and they should tune in to his syndicated radio program the next morning for more details. Here's the thing. Fox hadn't aired it yet on television, so thousands of American Idol fans slammed him back on Twitter saying that he ruined the surprise for them. And Fox executives apparently were not too pleased about the fact that he was using...
I bet not.
...that information for his own personal promotion rather than letting the show do it the way they wanted it to on the air.
So. It really takes a Herculean effort to upset everyone.
It really does.
Everybody. Your fans, the people you work for,
and
everyone.
And the F up American Idol, which is a ratings juggernaut which cannot be damaged. Only he could do it from the inside.
Nicely done.
He's like a virus. I think they should have like Cara Diaguardi spank him publicly or something with a hickory switch.
Yeah, he'd like it better.
He should be punished somehow. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Glenn Close, star of Damages on FX. She is 63 years old today. Actor Bruce Willis, most recently seen in Cop Out, celebrates his 55th birthday. Zach Lynn of Jimmy Eat World is 34. Rachel Blanchard, who was the star of the TV series Clueless, she's 34 years old today. And Jorma Taccone from The Lonely Island. Those are very, very funny guys. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Beer Muggs is here today, even though he's injured.
Yeah, he's playing hurt.
A rough day yesterday. He woke up in a bush.
Bush got the better of him.
Yep.
An actual Bush. He just woke up on the street. He has no idea where his friends went. Nothing. Scraped up, broken. Is your thumb broken?
Yeah. Pretty bad.
Good times.
That's alcohol is a bad thing.
It is.
And yet we still go back to it like the abused wives we are. We run back to the relationship and get beaten all over again and still say, but I love him.
Not me. I'm not going to drink again.
Oh, you're a liar.
We're going to talk to Forrest Whitaker in a second, an Oscar winner. A lot of Oscar winners on the program.
He was the King of Scotland.
He was the King of Scotland.
I love that movie.
He was Macbeth, I think.
Macbeth. No, Idi Amin.
I may have that wrong.
Yeah. But he was on The Shield. Remember he was on The Shield? He was so great on that show.
And evil.
Yeah. Ugh.
He's great in everything he does.
Yeah, he really is.
Well, it's playing evil.
He was the host of the Twilight Zone.
What?
When they brought the Twilight Zone back.
I didn't know that.
Forrest Whitaker was the host. He was like the Rod Serling of that that revamped series. It was fascinating, yeah.
Did you know that he has a black belt in karate?
Well, now you're just making stuff up.
That's what it says. IMDb says he has
I got to come with the Twilight Zone. You're trying to do me one better by making up false facts about our guest.
IMDb says Forrest Whitaker has a black belt in karate.
What? Hey, stop lying.
Well, then I believe it.
That's what they say. What do you want me to tell you?
Why don't we ask the man himself?
Because he's not on the phone. But when he is on the phone, we'll ask him.
Okay.
You do size people up and go, no, or yes, or, you know, Lisa's been training for 5 years. I can still take her in a second.
I was trying to remember the first time that Forrest Whitaker really caught my attention, and I think it has to be in The Color of Money. You remember the movie with Paul Newman and Tom Cruise was a sequel to The Hustler?
Yeah.
And Paul Newman plays a billiards player. Who's training Tom Cruise as sort of like a young up-and-coming player.
Right.
And Newman's just starting to get back in the game, and he's feeling pretty good about himself, and he gets totally hustled by this street punk.
And it was him?
Played by Forrest Whitaker. He just kicks his ass, and it was an awesome moment in a great film directed by Martin Scorsese, and I just always remember that as the first time. I was like, who is that actor? He's awesome.
All right, so billiards champion.
That's the first time I remember seeing him was in The Color of Money, and I just said, this guy's going to have a huge career. And look, it was right.
Because you called it?
Because I called it. That's why.
Of course.
He owes me.
He's one of those guys, and there are few of them, but he's one of those guys where if he's in a movie, I will go. Yeah. Either he's got great choices in movies or he's better than the material. Either way, it's I will always go see it.
Yeah.
We do have him on the phone now. Forrest Whitaker, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm good.
We were just talking about your career. And
you've had a lot of interesting, different kinds of roles in your life, Forrest.
Oh yeah, I try to like keep growing and challenging myself. So a lot of times I don't repeat myself. I just do different types of parts, you know.
Ralph was just talking about when you were in what was it, The Color of Money?
No, yeah,
The Color of Money. Yeah,
that was one of the first times I remember seeing you and saying, "Wow, that is an actor I'm going to have to watch," because you were up against Paul Newman on screen, and still I found myself watching you.
That was fun. I mean, you know, it's great to, you know, it's such a classic, The Hustler, in the first place. So then to get to be the guy that hustles Paul Newman.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, did you have to actually get good at pool, or were you actually, you misspent youth, you were good at it already?
No, I had to work at it, because you know what happened was they had hired a guy who couldn't really play pool, and they fired him. And so then they called and asked if I would fly myself to Chicago to audition for Martin Scorsese. And so I just spent like weeks inside of a pool hall. And then I flew to Chicago, and the first thing they asked me to do was play pool and play the nine ball champion. And I've been playing for such a while that I was looking pretty good, I guess.
How about that? That's the way to get a role right there. And one last thing before we get to Repo Man is, are you a black belt in karate?
I'm black belt in Kenpo, and I studied Kali for a long time since I was about 12.
Wow, I had no idea you were a martial artist. That's wild.
I love martial arts, too.
We saw that on IMDb, and we were like, I don't know if that's right, because everything that's on there is not necessarily...
I mean, I'm not trying to act like an expert, I mean, but I do enjoy martial arts, and I still do it, so...
Ralph was saying he could beat you down any time.
Stop.
He was just a second ago. He was saying that. Forrest Whitaker is in Repo Man, which opens today everywhere. It looks awesome. It stars Jude Law, and you guys are Repo Men. Tell us the twist on this particular movie.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're childhood friends, and we end up, after we leave war, like joining this company, the union, that sells body parts to people on credit. And when people can't pay for those, then they send out these guys, these repo men, to get them back. And me and Jude play the top two guys that do that. And ultimately, he ends up having to receive a heart because of a heart attack he has. And then it's about how it like affects our friendship and our relationship and changes our lives.
Because he can't make his payments, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless he continues doing what he's supposed to do, which he's starting to doubt, the way he's lived his life, you know?
This sounds a little nutty. I mean, repoing cars is nutty enough, but to go find somebody and go, excuse me, I'm going to have to do some emergency surgery on you right now and take out your liver.
Exactly. Well, we start with a taser gun, and then we just...
Oh, a taser gun. Okay.
And you don't necessarily have to leave the organ recipients in working condition when you get the organ back, right?
Exactly. It's got to, you know, that's got to be pristine. That's the biggest thing, I guess.
Exactly.
So it's a dark comedy, but it's got a lot of action. I think it's a lot of fun.
What kind of surgery techniques. Did you have to learn any of that? Is there any of that? Are you cutting them open?
You know,
and all
me,
that?
We actually went to watch some surgeries. You know,
you did.
I'm out
oh,
right there.
Wow.
We were down and we were in Toronto. Jude's character is a little more meticulous, so he like dealt with the surgery more pristinely. I'm more of a knife and fork kind of.
You know. So just dig in.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, the movie looks terrific, and Jude Law is such a great actor. You guys have a good time playing opposite each other.
Oh man, we had a great time. I think there's a great chemistry between us because we really like each other and like really respect each other. We spent a lot of time like training to get ready to do the movie, and so it was just a blast.
Now there does seem like there's a showdown at the end.
Yeah, well, I just want him to like come to his senses and continue doing what he's doing, and he has a change of heart, so to say.
Yeah, see,
he doesn't really like his life choice of doing emergency surgery on people to take back organs.
Exactly, and that causes a big problem.
Yeah.
For both of us.
Is he a black belt?
No.
That's
no,
right.
But he definitely does a lot of fighting. He does a lot of fighting with knives in the movie, actually, in the end. You know, and it's a lot about our relationship. It's kind of, in some ways, it's a buddy movie, you know, because it's a lot about our friendship and about our relationship and about the breakup of our friendship and us trying to go different ways and stuff. And the fighting and all that stuff is just a part of our lives, you know?
Right. And just the
buddies with weird jobs, that's all.
The part where you steal a heart back from somebody is just the side part of this movie.
Yeah, it's a sidebar.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this ever since I saw the first trailer. I thought it was a visionary idea. What a great idea to start taking back body
cool
parts.
Yeah.
I think you like it.
Is this in a world where they can grow fake ones or make fake organs? Is that how it begins?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like they call them artiforks, and they're like artificial organs and stuff. The union sells them, and they're in point of fact, they even like try to encourage people to misuse themselves in order to get them. You know, drink as much as you want, smoke
really?
As much as you want.
Sure, why take care of yourself when you just get a new one, right?
Exactly. You know, it's kind of weird because the movie has that kind of undertone of like healthcare stuff and credit stuff and all this going on inside of it. Because we're like trying to encourage people to do whatever they can to get one of our pieces of merchandise.
Right? You look at him and go, Yeah. Oh no, we'll put it on a payment plan. Don't worry about that.
Sure. Exactly.
That's
you
not going to be a problem.
This. Yeah.
You don't know Forrest Whitaker is going to show up with a knife and a fork to take back
your
parts.
Kidney on layaway.
Why do you have a fork?
I got my barbecue like thing on.
Well, Forrest, this looks fantastic, and we're really glad to talk to you today. Forrest Whitaker has been our guest. Repo Man opens today in theaters everywhere. It looks fantastic, and thank you again, Forrest. We appreciate
great
it. Great talk, Q, and it is 27 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here to take a look at a TV show that really bugs him.
Well, just because it's been in the news so much lately, and I wanted to address it because
this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for one last look at the showbiz beat with Ralph Garman.
You know, I got a lot of love for my hate.
A lot of love for your hate.
I got a lot of love for my hate. A lot of people out there also calling BS on 2 1/2 Men, pulling the curtain back.
It's not.
Emperor's wearing no clothes, baby.
Listen, it's not Family Guy.
Then why is it in the top 10 every week?
That I don't know.
When it blows.
I'll chuckle.
No, don't chuckle.
I can't.
I'll tell you something. Now that we've talked about it, now that we've dissected it, you go back and you try to watch it now.
It probably will make it worse.
Holy crap, he's right. It sounds like a comedy, but it's not. And then you get a show like 30 Rock, which week by week blows me away at how
so
brilliantly
good.
Funny that is.
Yeah.
Laugh out loud funny.
Sure. There's that.
See it last night?
No, I taped it.
Oh, love it even more than ever now. Because of what was on 30 Rock last night?
Yeah, I saw it and I thought of you. And
you
I was like, oh,
didn't.
No. I did.
Let's hear a little Liz Lemon from 30 Rock last night.
Go Eagles! Philly rules, cheesesteaks, Bobby Clark, Will Smith, your town sucks!
Woo!
Oh,
that's
wow.
right!
That happened.
Philly rules, your town sucks! Then Jack goes into a thing about Boston. It was a great man, battle. Because Cable Town with a K is buying NBC.
Oh, you don't want that to happen.
It is the thinly veiled slam at Comcast, which, of course, is based in Philadelphia, and they're buying NBC as well. So it's funny because it's true. Thank you. Thank you so much. Brooke Shields wants to get her face fixed.
What's wrong with it?
She's getting old.
It's a pretty nice face.
She tells Us Weekly magazine that she wants to get some plastic surgery and perhaps laser some wrinkles, but she's afraid she'll end up looking like the Joker, she says. Here's the thing. Women, I feel bad for women, because they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. They don't do any plastic surgery, then they age, which doesn't bother me, but apparently some women don't want to look older, so they want to get the plastic surgery done. But when they get that done, I don't know anyone who looks right after the plastic surgery. It just, there's just something wrong about it.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis's ex.
Look off.
What's her name?
Demi Moore?
Demi Moore is the only one to me.
But here's the genius of Demi Moore. She started when she was young. And she started with doing procedures and everything. So she sort of kept a maintenance schedule along. As opposed to waiting until you're like 45 or something and then start getting everything lifted and pulled and stuff. So she had little procedures done all the way along the way, and she sort of maintained. Plus, she diets and exercises her ass off.
Yeah, right. Well, there's that too.
Yeah. But most women, if they get a facelift or get their eyes done or a brow lift or something like that, invariably there's something artificial looking about them, and I can understand why Brooke Shields would be scared.
And after 2 or 3 years, it's exaggerated by 100%.
Depending, yeah. If you get addicted, like you start pumping more stuff into your lips and things like that, it just looks hinked up.
Hinked.
All right. Remember The Final Destination? The Final Destination. This was The Final Destination, the movie.
Was that 3D? Was that the latest one?
It was all the Final Destinations. They made a bunch of Final Destinations, and they said, this is The Final Destination.
This time we mean it.
This is the Final Destination. Final Destination. This is it.
Right.
This is The Final Destination.
Right, this is it.
Just announced yesterday.
Another one?
Another Final Destination. Warner Brothers President Alan Horn was at the Show West Movie Exhibitors Convention in Vegas yesterday and said they're doing a fifth Final Destination. Although the fourth one was supposed to be The Final Destination, this will be The Final Destination.
My head's gonna
explode. Is no such thing as a final movie sequel. I mean, anytime.
No.
You know, they always come back, and anytime they are out of ideas, they just go, let's try that again.
Yeah. It'll be in 3D again, but this one will be The Final Destination.
This time they mean it.
When they asked him, wasn't the last one supposed to be The Final Destination? He said simply, we can't resist. So at least he knows
I guess that's honest.
He is helpless against the power of the box office.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
All right.
This is it. I mean, this is really
this
is
the
it.
Final
this
one?
Is the final.
Right.
This is the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it really means this is it.
That's what I thought about Leprechaun in the Hood. Until they came back with Leprechaun back to the Hood. Kesha puts her fans first, Kevin.
Oh, don't get me started on her.
Yeah. Kesha is to Kevin what 2.5 Men is to me.
I'm the Kentucky blah, 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 blah.
She tells Star Magazine that it's very hard for her to sing and dance at the same time. And having seen a clip from her from the American Idol Results Show, I agree with her.
It's because she can't sing.
But she said she would rather mess that up than the lip sync because it's not honest to her fans. It's not true to her artistry.
I've heard her sing. She should lip sync.
No, she will not do it.
It'd be good for their ears.
She's a giver. She is. She would rather be a real failure than to fake it when it comes to lip syncing. Wouldn't do it. You guys got some tape over there or something?
Sure wish we did.
You guys are just scrambling.
It's that or surgery.
We're struggling here.
It looks like, you guys look like the Air Force when they're running for their planes when they got incoming fighters or something. That was a scramble right there, guys.
Listen, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I am going to stab Beer Mug in the heart.
Do it!
Yeah. I'm going to stab him in the heart. That's going to happen. Are you ready?
Talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes, boys blowing up our phones.
F you.
There you go.
F you.
She can't do that and dance at the same time.
She can't.
And Jesse James, yesterday, of course, I did the story, a big deal about Sandra Bullock moving out of their marital home because of a story in In Touch Weekly magazine about Jesse sleeping with a tattoo model named Bombshell McGee, which just sounds like a joke.
It does. It's a cartoon character.
We didn't know whether these accusations were real or not. Yesterday, he issued an apology to his wife and kids, saying that he was fully responsible for the situation due to a lack in judgment on his part. Mm. He embarrassed them beyond comprehension. However, he also said that the vast majority of the allegations in that story were untrue and unfounded. So we're not sure exactly what to believe.
Vast majority.
Vast majority.
So maybe something,
just
but
a little slap and tickle with her or something.
Hmm.
Maybe he just tattooed her with his own ink. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I don't either. I don't even know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, TMZ has photos of her in her Nazi photo shoot, which is just charming.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's her wearing a swastika and dressed up as a Nazi. It's really just couldn't be more adorable.
It is really bizarre that somebody would say, let's put you in Nazi gear, and she wouldn't go, no, are you crazy?
That'll be a sexy shoot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Glenn Close from, geez, so many feature films, but currently can be seen on Damages on the FX channel. She is 63 years old today. Actor Bruce Willis celebrates his 55th birthday. Zach Lind of Jimmy Eat World turns 34, and actress Rachel Blanchard, who was the star of the Clueless TV series. She is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning, an all-new program. We are going to have some highlights of Celebrity Apprentice. We have in the studio Rob Corddry.
Oh, he's great.
Very funny dude.
Hot Tub Time Machine. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and we're going to tell you about the fattest woman in the world. Well, she's not the fattest woman in the world yet, but that's her goal. Her goal. She weighs 600 pounds.
We all have dreams, Kevin.
And she wants you to sponsor her by sending her money so that she can get more food.
She wants to gain just 400 more pounds.
Right. So 600. She wants to be 1,000.
Stopping at a grand.
Right.
That's when she's pulling the plug.
So that's an all-new show for Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Drink up. And smoke up.
Smoke up if you got them. Don't end up in a bush.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's a groovy way of relaxing, opening your senses.
Roll another one.
I love it. Okay? I love it.
Just like the other one.
Now's the time to introduce the joint.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's a nice little part, isn't it? We should have some funny drops there. That'd be funny.
Roll, roll, roll another one.
Oh man, am I s***ing stoned.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Hey, what's going on?
What are you guys up to?
Oh, Luigi, oh. I don't want to guard that joint. Let's pass it around.
What did everybody think?
Ah, that stunk!
Worst episode ever.
I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'd like to thank my guests. I'd like to thank the greatest audience in the world. I'm out!
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum!
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You are quitters. Only fools quit. I pity the fool!
Okay, we're out of time, man.
I know, we're gonna sign off now.
Sign off.
That's what I'm doing. We're gonna sign off now because we gotta go back to the dorm and cram for our urine test.
That's not funny, man.
Okay.
Good day.
You get the hell out!
Cut, print, gay.
Hey, you boys leave. You can't come back.
Oh, gee. You hear that? If we leave, we can't come back.
Oh, no. What should we do?
All right, stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
Well, what did everybody think?
Ah, that stunk.
Worst episode ever.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is such a money car!